Numbers 13. I had two other scriptures about the hornets. The other one was Deuteronomy 7:20 and Joshua 24:12. But I'm not going to those. I'm going to save time. We're going to just look at Numbers. Numbers chapter 13, verse 25. See, the Lord spake to Moses, saying, "Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I gave unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them." Okay, so we're going to skip the part about all the names, and we're going to jump all the way down here to verse 25. Now watch this. It's very important to remember the character of God and what God did in the past before you open your mouth. And that's true in the case of these guys, because they went by what they saw instead of what God said. Verse 25, "And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back the word unto, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, 'We came unto the land where you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it, big old grapes that took two men to carry.'" Of course it did. Verse 28, Nevertheless the people be strong. And this is where they messed up. Verse 28, "Nevertheless the people be strong and that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there." And they were giants, of course they were. Verse 29, "And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." And now, Caleb saw something, because verse 30 said, see, he saw the fear in their voice and heard it and saw the fear on the people. Of course he did. Verse 30, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men that went up with him said, 'We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched, unto the children of Israel, saying, 'The land through which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof.'" Now watch this. "And all the people that we saw in it were men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight." So they're too big to fight. Now they just saw God do all these miracles, but they forgot that when they focused. If you see, if the devil changed your focus, he changed everything. He changed your future with it. If he changed your focus, he changed you. So that's why when the sons of God married the daughters of men, they had giants. They could have been little bitty people, and sometimes they were. But they were giants because giants don't have covenant. They are not God's pure creation. They are hybrids. They are weapons against the covenant. Every giant is a weapon against the covenant of God. It's an abomination. It's a crossbreed between angels, evil angels at that, and men, and women, humans. Okay. They have no covenant, so they gotta produce fear. See, Satan always have to produce fear because he has no covenant. Don't forget. Now watch what the people did. "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried and wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron and the whole congregation, and said to them, 'Wish to God we had died in the land of Egypt, or with God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt?' And they said one to another, 'Let us make a captain, and let us return to Egypt.'" That's what doubt does. Fear and doubt, that's the voice of fear and doubt. No covenants in it. No reason to speak it. Verse 5, "And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, tore their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land which we possess through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delighted in us, then he would bring us into this land and give it us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is... Now, they warn them not to fear, but the people, see, their hearts harden through fear and unbelief, doubt. Turned in unbelief, which is rejection, even after knowledge. They told them not to fear, but watch what they said, verse 10. But all the congregation based, they decided to stone them. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said, now watch this now, watch what God said. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? For all these signs which I have showed among them, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, Then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of the land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among us. People, and verse 14 again, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud stands over them, and that thou goest before them daytime in a pillar of a cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. Now thou shalt kill all this people as one man. Then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware to them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken this. And the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fatherless upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Then he said, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even unto now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. Now watch this part. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men have seen my glory and my, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not yet hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which I have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms, until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which ye search the land, even 40 days each day for a year shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land who returned, and made all the congregation murmur against him by bringing up slander upon the land. Even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. Very important to understand. They interrupted the whole plan with their doubt and unbelief. So we shouldn't allow doubt and unbelief and fear in our lives either. But Joshua, the verse 38, but Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search it, the land still shall live still. And Moses told these sayings to the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose up early in the morning and got them up to the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and we go up into the place which the Lord has promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, wherefore now do ye transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that you be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because ye turned away from the Lord. Therefore, the Lord will not be with you. See, when the Lord was with them, they chickened out. Now that the Lord is not with them, this is the contrast. Now that the Lord is not with them, they're trying to go in their own strength. But they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. And then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in that hill, and smote them and discomfited them, even unto Horma. And that was unnecessary. But that's the difference of doing it God's way, contrasting with the world's way. You have to stick to the protocols of God. And there's no end to your unlimited prosperity. In every way, you can prosper from glory to glory. There is no limit. But when people do things in their own strength, it cannot work. And God won't let the misery of this world represent him. Now, here's another contrast I want to look at. This one's a little bit different, but every contrast, contrasting the ways of God versus the ways of the world. The world system is Satan's system. You know, in Luke chapter 16, Jesus said that, well, I better read it because I don't want to mess it up, but you know, I love to refer to scriptures, but when you're looking at them, you get more detail out of it. And here it is, verse 8. This is that parable about the unjust steward. I don't want to read the whole part of it, but we'll start at verse 8. Jesus said, and the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Now, this is why I brought it up. The way of God is easy to be entreated. It's pure, easy to be entreated. It makes sense. It's simple. It's ever increasing. It ever multiplies. Everything about God ever multiplies. It ever multiplies. It's a graduation from glory to glory. It's promotion. Everything of God. Love is that way. Wisdom is that way. The holiness of God is that way. The kindness of God, it builds hope in people. See, in other words, the Lord, when we first met him, he spoke what he wanted. We first saw him addressing a disaster, which was the earth. And the Lord spoke to it, saying, let there be light. And that was light. So the first thing, the first representation of God in Genesis, the Lord is speaking. And by speaking, he's using faith, which defines what the disaster into a beautiful planet again. And he does it publicly. He does it, you know, he made it where everybody in the universe could see the earth because all the suns were off. Remember, this light was not the sun or any star shining on it. And if the sun don't shine, the moon can't either. The sky was dark, pitch black. And the Lord said, let there be light. In other words, he chose the light and rejected the darkness. And the Lord's been doing that all along. He chooses life and rejects death. He chooses love and rejects pride. And all every time God selected something, it was apt to life. When he chose a king, he chose the best, the tallest. Saul was the goodliest choice. He was the goodliest king. When he chose him, David was too young. And the Lord thinks of everything. When he fired Saul, he hired David as the king. And he chose a man after his own heart. And he was the best choice. One day, Joab told David, you're worth 10,000 of us. You know, when God gives, he gives his best. When he, for the Savior, he became a man and died for us. God is good, folks. When he fights to win. When he made covenant with Abraham, he made sure that he always chose the best choices in everyone he selected, everybody that was part of it. He chose Joseph to usher them into Egypt. He trained him. Joseph trained. He learned the dreams. He learned the wisdom of Jacob. He was impressive to the Egyptians. See, when you learn how the kingdom of God operates, you become like Joseph, like David, like Jesus. And the way of this, the way the God's ways are much better than the worldly way. But when you're born in the worldly way, you can't mix it. If you like something in the world, it's going to always hinder you from reaching your full potential. And when you contrast it, you're trying to use negative things to do positive things, and it cannot function. It can't work. It won't work in the kingdom of God, and it won't work in the kingdom of the world either, because it's out of balance. You know, if you're generous, when your ways are generous, everything you do will prosper. All right, if you're a banker and you have to run the bank according to the banking system, and you know, you'll have to use the wisdom of God and generosity. In other words, you can pray and ask the Lord to help you make sure you do the right, you lend the money to the correct people and use his wisdom. Some of the people that will pay you back and become a great business partner, they don't always look like, they don't always fall under the bank's guidelines. And I just heard a testimony of a man and a woman. They went to, let's see, what ministry was that they were, they listened to? They come on the Victory Channel. But anyway, who they were listening to, the ministry they were listening to, their eyes were open. And they were paying so much money. They bought a house, but they were paying interest only. And they were dealing with a lot of money, and they had rental properties, but the way that they managed it was just, they were going under. But when they learned the principles of God, and they involved God, they received correction from one of the ministers that come on the Victory Channel, because I just saw it last week. They started, it may have been Andrew Womack, but I'm not sure which ministry they were listening to. But they got the tapes, they listened, they changed their ways, their habits, and then they tried to get another loan, and nobody would give them a loan, and the Lord showed them which bank to go to, and they lent them the money they needed, and they paid it off. They paid it way down, and they continued to do their rental properties. Then the bank wanted them to renovate a house in Florida. So they're on. See, when you understand how the kingdom of God works, and you apply the principles of God, there's nothing you can't do, because God's ways are ever progressing. Ever progressive. In every covenant causes you to progress. When you're in agreement with God and you stick to it, that's a covenant. If you say you're in agreement and don't stick to it, you broke covenant. It's not a covenant. You're not agreeing. You're not in agreement. You're not in agreement or full agreement with what you said you'd do. But when you're in covenant, you make sure you do it. And you do it with all, and God will help you do it. And you can fulfill any covenant when you keep God first. That's the beauty of it. So the things of this world, if you try to use the principles of this world and do kingdom business, it's never going to work right. It's never going to work. It's not. It's below standard. It's not what God would do. God will have to use you in a limited way if you try that. And people do try that. So understanding contrast is very important. Now, Jesus said that in this verse 8 again, he said the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. But what he didn't say was that the children of this generation will remain wiser than the children of light. Now, this was back when he was speaking, when he was on earth. And so, and anybody that's just come out of the world, of course, you have to train and learn God's ways, and then you'll become wiser than the children of darkness in their world. And this is happening also because people are getting better revelation at younger ages. And see, sometimes the children of the vessels that God is using, they see and they see their parents and grandparents doing the things of God. And the faster they humble themselves, they'll start receiving it. While sometimes there are those who are receptive, even though they're not related to the vessels that God is using. So it's kind of like me and a friend of mine, a dear friend of mine, Derek Austin, we went to, my daddy was running a revival. And he spent the week with us in Utah. And my daddy did an altar call. He went and got saved. I didn't. So, hey, and I noticed a change in him after that. You know, he was much more mature. He made straight A's. He was more focused. Now, this is the thing that, you know, I can't remember if he made straight A's, but he kept making honor roll. I didn't make honor roll. I got to high school. But I saw a change in him. Now, this is the other part. Anytime you receive salvation, a change is made. And it's obvious. You can't hide it. And when people get saved, even if they don't do everything they should do, a change was made. And God can work with them. When I got saved, a change was made. And then God worked with me. And I was almost 20 years old when that happened. So this is the thing. When we finally get down to business with God, he'll get down to business with us and help us to do, to learn how the kingdom works. Jesus said, learn of me. And the way he said, the way I picture him saying it, he was yearning that we would do that. Because God wants to do so much for us. He wants to bless us. Just like the hornets. He was going to drive out the enemies with hornets. It looks like to me they wouldn't have had to do much fighting at all, if any fighting at all. All they would have had to do is sing the songs of Zion, cooperate with God, don't get mixed up in idolatry, and learn how the kingdom of God works. Just all they had to do is listen to Moses. And God was telling them what to do through Moses. See, God always makes it easy. When you try to blend the ways of God with the world, that's where you mess up. Just like Lester Sumrall said, when he said, the things of God is simple and easy to understand. When it gets complicated, you don't stop following God. Now, and I found that to be so true. I've had complicated problems and I say, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. Now God, he got my attention for once. And then he gave me his wisdom and it just clear, everything clears up over seasons. Not all at once, because you have to make, if you've been doing it the wrong way for a long time, you start using the wisdom of God and your habit system will change and as you start doing things differently. And then eventually you're going to have profit instead of loss. And I've done it many ways. God showed me how to do it better. And then you want to be on the same page with the Lord. And you want to do exactly what he say when he says do it. Now the next contrast I want to point out is Apostle Paul. Now, in the book of Acts 21, Paul's in court. Well, actually, before he was in court, he met the prophet because he had decided to go to Jerusalem. Of course, he did. But see, sometimes we do things. We may long to do something, but it might be all right with God. It may be in the permissive will. But first of all, even if it's something you really care about and want to do, if it don't really fit the perfect will, at this stage in the game, don't do it. Stick with the perfect will of God. See, a man, let's see. Here it is. Acts 21. He wasn't in court yet. All right. This is what led up to it before he went to court. Let's see. I'll start right here. Let's see. I started verse 7. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais and saluted the brethren and abode with them one day. All right, now verse 8, this is what we're getting to. And the next day we went, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. So this verse tells a lot about this man. This man was a man of gravity. He taught his daughters, he taught his family the right things to do. They were virgins and they prophesied. Which means that they, and this is indicative that they listened to the heart of their father. And they sought to honor God. That's the only way those two things can happen. And I'm saying that because the Bible gave us this information. So this is the type of man that Paul was dealing with. And he was an evangelist. You know, since I said that, sometimes preachers' children, evangelist children, men and women, even just Christian children get curious about this world. But it's our job to receive knowledge from the Holy Spirit and reach them. They can be reached. And the Lord will help you with them. And, you know, my parents were pastors. And I always say my mother didn't preach, but she was just as much a pastor as my dad because her heart was in it. She always was in agreement with what my dad had to do. And never, she shared my dad with God. And she fervently served in the church. And whatever she did it well. She did that. She went to church till she couldn't go to church. Now, and she loved the church, she loved God, and she loved people, just like Jesus loves us. And she taught me, even in the days of the civil rights, she said, love everybody. My parents loved everybody. And they didn't get caught up in the hatred part of it, you know. And they wanted things to be right, but they made sure they taught me love. And they taught everybody love. That's how they were. So, you, just because you're born in a pastor's house don't mean you share their convictions. Now, sometimes I did what was right. It's not because I wanted to. I didn't want to get caught. And some things I didn't do is because I didn't want to get caught. And I didn't want to do nothing that would embarrass my mother. I didn't want my mother to know that I would have done some of the things that I had in my mind to do. But she stayed ahead of me. And she knew how I thought. And she knew where I was in life. And she made sacrifices just for me. She was going to go and get if she had done this, she would have made a lot more money until she retired. And it would have really affected her retirement. If she had went back and got a master's, she was about to do it. And another teacher, they were going to ride together so they wouldn't be as tired when they go to school. But I was like that age, right? What they would call middle school age. You know, back in those days, elementary went to the eighth grade. Well, then they got middle school, which is pre-high school, We didn't have that then. Well, today, but in those sixth, seventh, eighth grade, you know, and during those times, that's where she was going to go. I still had years to go in school, and she could have went to school for a year or two and made a lot more money doing the same thing. But she said, and she called it off. I believe she took it to the Lord in prayer, and she told the other teacher that she was going to ride with, I can't go right. I can't do this. My son needs me. And I know for a fact, if my mother would have been gone, I would have done things that I shouldn't have done and regretted my life. I might not even be alive. So children need you when they need you. And you can't trust them just because they act right. You have to trust the Holy Spirit. And you have to share things with them and teach them and be patient. And sometimes things are boiling or going on in their life and you don't see it. They keep it hid. We keep stuff hid. When we think like the world, we act like the world. We hide our mischief. And I can tell you right now, don't stop praying for children, especially the youngest ones, because the Lord had his hand on my life. Sometimes I tried to do things and it never would work. So when I got 17, 18, I did some things I wish I didn't do. But when I got to be, once I got saved, all that was gone. I was a new creature and I didn't want no parts of the world again. And so, you know, the reason I brought that up is because the enemy, he's not going to sit back and watch you raise your children without some kind of interference. And so the enemy did this. He sold people in our path, you know, me, my friends, to get us off track. And the interference didn't come from within. It came from without. And the television and what older guys was doing and what they talked about. Everybody's got influence. And the girls, they got influence. Everybody's got influence. Men, women, boys, girls, teenagers, they all got influence. So you have to pay attention to the Holy Spirit more than you pay